So important to pray that after the scriptures we just heard. the reality is, I think for so many people, especially in this country, we've been so blessed in so many different ways that we are, in many ways, the wealthiest nation upon the planet. And sometimes people can feel guilty about that, but I think we need to realize that we've been blessed in that, and the encouragement in the midst of that is to be a blessing to others in the name of the Lord. One of the blessings we had a chance to experience here a few weeks ago was our special 9/11 memorial service where we remembered that faithful day some 15 years ago, had first responders here as well, and worshiped with them, prayed with them, and it was just an incredible time for all of us and for them as well. One of the things that surprised me and a number of us was that the next day it made the front page in the Naples Daily News. Never expected that to happen. And as we looked at that and saw the story that was shared and the pictures that were online as well that documented a lot of the 9/11 celebrations going on throughout Lee and Collier counties, there were actually 20 pictures that were part of that slideshow, five of them being from the service at St. John's. Out of those five, three of them were actually of healing prayer that was going on during that time, which was really interesting to me. And what that said to me, both in the article that was written in the Naples Daily News and the pictures that they had in the slideshow, was how much they were touched by that healing prayer. We felt that at the moment as we were praying for them and they were praying with us, that God's grace and power were moving in some very special ways, that there was healing that was taking place. And that was touching to them and touching to us, and very touching to the community at large as well. With all that's going on in our nation right now, with the, if you will, the other kinds of touch that are going on between communities and law enforcement and first responders, it was a real blessing to me. And I think the favor of God that we were able to share those images and the reality of healing prayer and touching in a way that is positive and loving and a blessing, especially in this moment. And I believe in this hour, God is calling his people to reach out to one another and to our community as well, to be an example of his love and his healing and his grace to those that are in need around us, and to lift up before people the answer and the reality and the love that we found in Jesus Christ. And another way that you and I are going to begin to be able to enter into that over the coming weeks is that beginning this Friday, September 30th, through Election Day, November 8th, there's an opportunity for you and I to enter into a time of worship, prayer, fasting, and serving for the spiritual renewal and awakening of our city, our state, our nation, and the world. And so I want to invite you to turn to the green insert in your bulletin, and I want you to look on the side of the green insert that at the top has 40 days for him. And you'll notice on there a number of different things that are described. And I would just want to take during my message here today a few moments to reflect on this with you and to invite you to be a part of this during this very important time. You'll notice below the picture of that person reaching up their hands to the heavens in praise of God, that below that there is the following wording, as one, a national appeal to heaven. And so this coming Friday, we're going to be entering into a time of, again, worship, prayer, fasting, and serving that's been called for by Dick Eastman and also Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, in order that we might, as a body of Christians throughout this country, fast before God, pray to the Lord, repent of our sins, and ask that there might be given from God a spirit of renewal and revival in our land. I don't know about you, but in the hour in which we live right now, I know of no greater need that we have. Whatever your political persuasion might be, however you feel about the climate right now, I will just say this, it is one of the most interesting election cycles I've ever seen in my life, and many are saying that as well who have been around longer than I have. And given the choice that we have before us, I will just say that as well, I say we are, as a people of God, truly need to engage in prayer, truly need to be in prayer for our country and for one another in this hour, whatever the outcome might be, that in this moment we might be an example of God's love and grace reaching out to the world. And so it's with that in mind that we're called into this time of prayer and coming before the Lord. So you'll notice one of the words below a national appeal to heaven, the first word is worship. And there's a scripture that's cited there, Psalm 100, verse 4. It goes like this. We will enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. There's actually a song, really great song. It's one of my favorite ones, very joyful, that has those words in it. And what this is communicating with us is the importance of our worship of Almighty God. You know, one of the most important things that you and I do on a weekly basis being here, and I hope on a daily basis in your own life, is spending time worshiping God and acknowledging him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as you and I do that, we are actually entering into the heavenly worship of angels and archangels that's going on before the throne of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from the beginning of time, and will continue all throughout our existence. And so this is a very important thing that you and I do. And so as we gather together during this time of praying for renewal and revival in our lives and in the life of our nation, we'll gather here for times of worship on a Sunday morning. It'll begin, I think it's October 9th or 10th. It's that second Sunday of October. Around 9 a.m. we'll gather here to worship and to pray to the Lord. Interspersed with that, we'll have a prayer walk down to Venetian Village and then do something else the week after that. But this is an opportunity for you and I to come together and sing some hymns to God, some songs of praise and worship to him, and just enter in and come before him and say, Lord, we want your movement in our lives and in our nation at this hour, and we want that so badly that we're coming here early to be with you as a sign of our commitment to you. We're going to enter into your gates with thanksgiving, giving you thanks for all that you've done in our lives, and even giving you thanks for the things that you haven't done yet. Even giving you thanks for the things that we're struggling with, we're going to give you thanks in faith that you're a good God, that you love us, and that you're with us. We go into his courts with praise, praising him, giving him glory, acknowledging how awesome and mighty he is. And as we do that, we might even enter into a spirit of worship as we experience his presence in our midst. So worship is one of the important things we'll be doing during this season. The next word you'll notice there is pray. Philippians 4, 67. If you haven't highlighted this scripture in your Bible yet, I would really encourage you to do so. For me, it is probably one of my most go-to verses for myself and for other people as well. It goes like this: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. A very important scripture, a very important way for you and I to look at prayer and what it's all about. And what God is encouraging us in that particular scripture in Philippians is to not worry. In other words, in the name of that great song, don't worry, be happy, right? Basically, that's what God's saying. Don't worry, be happy. I got it. Don't be anxious about anything, but follow these steps: prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let me know what your needs are. Let me know what the needs of your city are. Let me know the needs of the nation. Come before me with those. Let me know the needs of the world. And then there's a promise hitched on with this. As you do this and give these to me and let them go, surrender them like last week, my peace will come upon you. That's what God gives you and me in exchange for all of our worries and concerns and anxieties. It's a great deal. He says, give me all of your concerns and I'm going to give you my peace. Such a deal. And some of you are living your life and saying, no, I'd rather keep my worries and anxieties and not have your peace. If you're living in worry and anxiety, that's exactly what you're saying. God wants to give his people his peace that transcends all understanding. This peace will come upon you even if the problem hasn't been solved yet, even if you don't know what the solution is, even if things still seem bleak in front of you. Guess what? I've had moments, and I know other people who have as well, who have applied this scripture, and guess what? God's peace still came on us. It made no sense to me. The situation wasn't resolved yet. I'm used to the situation being resolved, and maybe I'll have some peace. No, this wasn't even taken care of yet. And guess what? I got God's peace. Such a deal. And here's the best part. God took care of the situation later on in a way I could not foresee, would not have done it that way, thank you very much, could not have planned, could not have financed, could not have orchestrated or manipulated or deceived my way into, and God did it better. God always does it better as we give it to him and surrender it and let it go. Worship, pray, and fast. Oh my, this is a four-letter word right here, fast. Now I know some of you, over this past year, this is the third season of 40 days of worship, prayer, fasting, and serving that St. John's is entering into, and we have been honored as a people of God to do this, I believe. We are in historic times, I know that, and we are honored to be entering into our third season. But some of you have not even been a part of this yet, and I'm guessing that part of the reason is there are a couple of things that are going on in your mind. 40 days, no way. A day or two, maybe. A week could be a stretch. 40 days, forget about it. And fasting, oh, Father Joe, I love to eat. I didn't tell you, but I love to eat too, by the way. And there just isn't any way you're going to do it, right? No way, Jose. But you can do this. You can do this by God's grace. I've been honored to be a part of the two earlier 40 days of worship, prayer, fasting, and serving. And part of my time has been fasting. Let me tell you something. I love to eat. I'm Italian. It's all about mangia. I mean, you get around the table, you talk and you eat and you eat and you talk, and that's what it's about. So this fasting thing, I'm about as excited about it as you are. But it's powerful. It's powerful. God does things through fasting that will not happen any other way. They will not happen unless you're willing to make that sacrifice. And you think I'm just saying that, look at the scriptures. It's true. It's in there. Let me just say there are different ways that you can fast. You can fast from certain foods. It's called a rotational fast. Daniel had a fast that was very powerful, and he simply ate fruits and vegetables. That's what he did, and God honored that fast in a very powerful way. Maybe you'll fast from all food one day a week, or maybe you'll fast from one or two meals a couple of days a week. Or maybe you really love chocolate. Oh, I'm going to get personal now. Maybe you really love chocolate, and maybe your fast is going to be giving up chocolate during this 40 days or variations thereof. But what I want to invite you to do is ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, first of all, Lord, do you want me to be a part of this? And if so, what would you have me sacrifice? It needs to be a sacrifice. And one of the things I do want to encourage you to sacrifice is, would you turn off the TV? Would you turn off your iPods and your iPhones and all of that and just get away from them for an hour or two a day? It'll do you good. That's part of the fast that we can do as well. In Nehemiah 1:4, it said when Nehemiah heard about Jerusalem and how the city was left in ruins and hadn't been restored, it broke his heart. It said he began to weep and he would not eat. Have you ever been so broken of heart and in so much struggle that you just couldn't eat? It's been rare in my life, but it's happened. That's what happened to Nehemiah. And so you see, this is something that you and I can do by the grace of God. Now, what happens if you're fasting from chocolate and you eat a chocolate one day, or you eat that lovely piece of dessert that you just can't say no to during this fast? What do? You just ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me. I blew it. I broke my fast. You brush your knees off, you get up, and you keep on going, and you continue to walk in what you've agreed with God to do. You see, you keep coming up with reasons even before you get through the starting gate about why you can't do it. But you and I need to begin to find reasons why we need to do it and why we want to do it, because I believe God does. Finally, the word serve. And this is tied into fasting, and I'm going to read this text, Isaiah 58, 6 to 9. I think a very important scripture for the day in which we live. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindication shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. This is another scripture in addition to Philippians that I really want to encourage you to read this week. There's a lot in there in Isaiah 58, but what Isaiah is saying is that as you and I walk in the fasting of serving the needy in our midst and begin to really take care of the poor and really reach out to them and help them with the basic needs that they have, like a home and food to eat and all of those things that you and I need in our lives as well, God's going to see that. That's the fast that God is calling for, not only in Isaiah's time, but in this hour as well. And look at his promises. As you and I begin to walk in this, the Lord's healing is going to break forth in our midst. His light is going to begin to dawn. And we're going to begin to enter into a renewal and a revival with God that you and I have yet to experience, but I am looking forward to. And it's all centered around this word of service, of loving service, of fasting in the way of giving to the poor and the needy that are in our midst in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, that his healing might break forth in all of our lives. So, I have a word of encouragement for you here today. If you have not had a chance to be a part of the earlier seasons of this worship and prayer and fasting and serving, you have come on the right day because you still have a chance for this next one. Okay. It begins this coming Friday, and it goes for 40 days. You'll notice a website at the bottom of this sheet, openheavenrevival.org. I want to invite you to go to that website and register. Just put in your email. You'll be sent back a reply email confirming your registration. And then I will send out to you on a weekly basis updates of what we're doing, events that are happening. You can go to this site. There is more explanation about worship and prayer and fasting and serving. Some wonderful videos that will be encouraging to you as well. And I really want to encourage you to gather with us during this hour, this very important time, that you and I might make a difference in this hour in our country. You know, it's time for us to quit looking at all that's going on around us, watching the TV, reading the news, and saying, I can't believe all that's going on. I can't believe how bad it is. I can't believe that they made this such incredibly bad decision. And all of that may be true. But what does your complaining do? It does absolutely nothing. It absolutely does nothing. But your prayer, your worship, your fasting, and your serving with a body of believers in the millions across this nation over this coming 40 days will be a fragrant offering unto the Lord God Almighty, that we are praying as an appeal to heaven that he will hear and bring healing to our land and revival and repentance and grace. I'll leave you this with this one final thought. As I was growing up, I had a program I used to watch every Sunday, and it was by a group called the Christophers. And as they began this program, every week, it was actually one of my favorite parts of the whole program. It was just the beginning. This person would come out, and the screen would be dark. And he'd have a candle that he would light. And he would simply say this, it is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. Beloved of God, in this hour, God is calling us to light candles. God is calling us to be his light in this world, in this present moment, to bring his love, to bring his healing, to bring his grace, to bring his presence into our community, into our lives with one another, into the poor and into those that are in need, that he might be lifted up, that he might show to us, you know what, I really am the answer to your problems. I really am the one that can lead you in a way that is new. So, beloved, I invite you along with me. Join us in lighting the candle that we might be God's answer to the prayers of many people in this hour. Amen.